Torrington Elementary School is back open today, but an investigation is still ongoing after an armed security officer reportedly discharged a firearm inside. It happened yesterday morning before students got there, so thankfully nobody got hurt. But it does put questions in people's minds about whether or not to have armed security guards at schools. Now, let's remember, last month, the Bristol Board of Education unanimously voted to add armed security personnel to the school district's staff. It was the first district, actually, in the state where employees are now authorized to carry firearms. This poor guy, he can't get a morning off, it seems like, lately. Back with us to discuss it, one of our law enforcement experts, Gary McNamara, is here. And Gary, you came on the show last month talking about the pros and cons of having armed guards at schools following Bristol's news. That's why I wanted to have you back on with this Torrington story. How does this change things for people?
Well, it raises their level of concern, certainly, when they hear about this, especially the districts that are in that debate process, and they're looking at introducing a firearm to the school district. So it's certainly going to raise their level of concern. I think what it will do with all districts in the state that have armed security guards at their schools, I'm sure they will begin again to review their policies and review their training programs to make sure that they it appears on its face value that this was probably some sort of an accidental discharge because it was before school, maybe when the officer was getting dressed or what have you. So they're going to review some of those policies and trainings throughout the state.
Right. I mean, it says that there was no ongoing threat. School actually went on as normal yesterday. But it is certainly, again, let's go back really quickly to Bristol. When you and I had that conversation, you actually distinctly corrected me on the air, which I always remember when people correct me on my own show. What is the difference between you were talking about the difference between, I think, security guards or armed personnel. Are these police officers? Are they employees of the district who are allowed to now carry? I mean, talk about the distinction. You know, in this situation, it sounds like this was an armed security officer is what they're saying, but that's a police officer, so right?
Well, no. So
okay, see here, he is. He's correcting me again. There you go. So that's not a police officer. This is somebody.
It's amazing.
Who is...
It's amazing. I'm invited back. But yeah. So they have security guards which are unarmed at some school districts.
Okay.
Then the next level would be a security guard that is armed. Now, in the state of Connecticut, there's requirements to be an armed security guard, meaning you have no powers of arrest, but you can carry a firearm during the school hours. Most of our employees of the district.
But they're not technically police officers.
Correct. They have to be retired police officers. And I think there's some military possibility that you can be prior military, but you have to meet a certain standard. But you're not a sworn police officer.
What is that called if you have a police officer at the school who's obviously armed?
Well, it could be a police officer. That's commonly known as an SRO, you know, the school resource officer.
Got
or something.
It. So that's what it was, the SRO, the school resource officer. So that is a police officer with the department in your district. But
correct.
When we talk about a security officer, an armed security officer, that is not a police officer.
Correct. It's just okay. They have to have that experience prior to getting hired as an armed security guard.
So is this just more of a question of training? Again, without knowing enough about the investigation, it does sound like this was totally an accident. Again, I don't know how you discharge a gun. Maybe you could give context to that. I am not I don't have gun ownership. I have fired a gun before, but I don't carry a gun. But like, how does it accidentally discharge?
Well, you know, not to go heavy into the details, but obviously the only way a firearm generally, I mean, there's been some discharges where a gun might have been dropped, and depending upon the make of it, the firing pin would activate the discharge of the bullet. It's generally through pulling the trigger. So that's really the way in which the gun will be fired. So you can see in this case, it was, you know, we know certain things. It was before school. No students were around. If you look at some of the other cases, just kind of did a little search on them. There was one in Michigan that happened where it was in a staff bathroom. So that the weapon apparently got caught on the hook. On a hook inside the bathroom. So you can see a firearm securely in your holster is not generally going to go off. So you can see in a lot of these cases, it's either they were in the bathroom or they were getting dressed. And at that moment in time, they accidentally discharge the firearm because they grab it the wrong way, or while loading it or unloading it, although I couldn't imagine somebody unloading or loading a weapon in the bathroom. But that's when it's going to go off. It just appears to be an accidental discharge, meaning that at a time when the officer or the security guard was handling the weapon, he did it in such a way that it accidentally went off because his finger activated the trigger.
It's just kind of a shame, though, right? I mean, just from a news standpoint, you know, of course, you know how my brain works. I start thinking about other stories that we cover. But, you know, when people are worried about electric vehicles and the first thing they cite are fires, I always think, man, there's so many other things you should be worried about with electric vehicles. Again, not saying you should or shouldn't like them, but like that's not what comes to my mind. That's actually near the bottom of the list for me. And the reason I say that is because we actually don't have a lot of electric vehicle fires in America. It doesn't happen that often. But it's the headlines that stand out that people are like, whoa, you know, this is a real problem. And I'm not saying it's not. But my point of bringing that example up is when you hear about stories like this, I mean, it will make the average person who even was kind of riding that line of, oh, maybe I could be on board with this, go, no, never mind. It's just not worth it. I can't have it. And I think that's a shame. I do.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, obviously that's the tendency for some would do that, would say, see, I told you so, and that's why we don't need them. And that's, I don't think that's necessarily the case. We know that to reduce the number of people involved in victims of an active shooter, there's two things that are going to matter: how quickly law enforcement gets there and the number of victims available to the shooter. And these are retired law enforcement officers. So in essence, you'll have law enforcement there. Now, having said that, it really hones in on training. You mm-hmm. have to respect a firearm, and, you know, having grown up in a career with a firearm, I'm very comfortable with it. But at the same time, every single day while I handle it, it's still something that you have to respect all the time. Now, you can't, you know, you got to dive into it and find out what happened, but certainly training, and it's an accident, but it could be a very fatal accident for
right.
some if the circumstances were different.
Right. I mean, that's actually, you know, it's interesting, Gary, because I've talked about with, again, here goes my mind. But we've talked about when you have to renew your license. I've always said that, you know, people may not even remember what they learned in driver's ed because they've had their license now 20, 30, 40, 50, so on years. And so when the rules of the roads change, or you just, you know, you start to kind of forget the things that you learned at 16 years old, I always wonder why we don't do sort of a re-upping training. Now, is that a pain? Of course it is. But I always think to myself, well, maybe we could curb, not completely, but in some regard, driver behavior if we did sort of re-upping training, or we did some kind of crash course of, you know, no pun intended. But with that, my comparison is, do you think that if you are like a current, I don't know, you carry. So do you have to do any kind of re-upping of training, or, you know, reminding of how to handle them to make sure that it doesn't discharge by accident? I don't know if you need to do that.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, if you have a responsibility, you and the districts do have a yearly qualification, but sometimes you need more than that, you know. And then the other thing you can, and I don't know this to be the case, so I don't know, but then, you know, why and where was the security officer in any of these accidental discharges where they were handling the firearm? You know, there are each district, when you do this, you have to have a place where an officer can safely and securely load and unload their firearm. So it shouldn't be in their car in the parking lot. There really has to be a place for it. They make devices that you can, you know, inside special rooms that you can kind of go in there, and that's where you get dressed, or that's where you, you know, safely unload your firearm or load your firearm. So, you know, and again, I don't know this to be the case, but sometimes districts do this and then they don't necessarily realize that they may have to have an area where they can safely get dressed without handling the firearm in an area that might cause some danger. So that's something that they sometimes overlook. But, you know, the police department, obviously, we have places before we go on the range, or at the end of the firearms, at the end of the range, there's systems in place that you can safely unload your firearm, make sure that it's unloaded before you handle it any further. But getting dressed in a parking lot, or, and you've seen some of these cases in the bathroom where, you know, the officers are using the facilities and then they go grab their firearm or their belt or whatever it is, and the weapon discharges because the way they're handling it.
Well, then maybe it's worth looking at not just training, but looking at, like you said, having designated areas where people can, you know, dress or get ready safely, that if, God forbid, there is an accidental discharge, it doesn't impact anybody. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the fallout is of this story. And obviously, we have to see where the investigation goes, get more details on it. But Gary, I always appreciate you giving us the time. One of our law enforcement experts here on the show. Thank you so much.